Hello, everyone. This is Daniele Menzi, MEF advisor in the blockchain space. As you know, I'm usually recording the podcast along with the CEO, Dario Betti. And as of a few weeks, we're starting to record podcasts with MEF members. This time, I'm the privilege to be with Anna Guzman from Syniverse. Thank you, Anna, to be here with us.
Thank you, Daniele.
So, Anna, would you mind to start describing yourself? So what you're doing and what is your current focus area? I mean, at the end, as all people know here in this MEFcast, the focus would be to give a flavor on what's going on in the blockchain space. So in this time, it'd be very interesting to start discussing about what Syniverse has been doing towards solving a problem, a very common industry problem in a very, let's say, innovative fashion using a brand new technology than blockchain. So Anna, I think it's very interesting for all of us knowing a little bit more about yourself, what you're doing and what Syniverse is doing.
Okay, so my name is Anna Guzman. I am the Senior Director of Customer Products and Industry Relations for Syniverse. I have more than 25 years of telecom industry experience. I worked for an operator and then for clearing houses ever since. I can say that my job is never boring because the telecommunications industry is very dynamic and it develops constantly, basically. So I worked with commodity products mostly, while now when so many changes are happening, I'm more into the new things, hence the industry relations for Syniverse, which then means that I'm kind of the liaison of Syniverse with the GSMA industry, which is the body that controls, let's say, the telecom companies. And I'm now also the chair of the Billing and Charging Evolution Group under GSMA, which then is dealing with all the new developments and how to take care of the problems that are occurring, or let's say challenges, I wouldn't call them problems, which the telco companies need to face, solve, and then kind of become compliant.
Yeah, I mean, for those, because this podcast is being listened to telco people and non-telco people. Yeah. So it's having a very broad audience. So I think it's key to explain a little bit what is a GSMA for the telco space, because I mean, in the past podcast, we talk about the regulator in the financial space. So GSMA, it's kind of regulator in the telco space. Can you explain a little bit the relations between the GSMA and the telco bodies?
Yeah, it, as you said, it is the regulating body. So they basically invent standards, which then all operators use. Like for example, for the roaming data exchange, since 1995, there's something called TAP formats, transfer account procedures. So all the calls are transferred between operators so they can bill each other. This standard was invented by GSMA. It has been very successful so far. Each and every mobile operator in the world uses this standard. Now the new standard coming up, which I mentioned, billing and charging evolution, which eventually should replace this TAP standard, is what we are now working on. And my experience with GSMA is, while many of the things are non-binding and operators can do things still bilaterally, everyone somehow, to some extent, follows the regulations or the recommendations of the GSMA.
Yeah, lovely. And I think it's very interesting to explain also what Syniverse is doing. Syniverse, I mean, in the telco space, is one of the most known company in the, let's say, in the roaming and interconnection business. But I think it's very good for people that are not in the telco space to get a flavor on who is Syniverse and what is Syniverse now.
Okay, so I would say, with one sentence, Syniverse is probably the world's most connected company. Even though on our website you will see that we are the most connected company, but I always say things 99% just in case I'm challenged. So that's my statement. We have been in the telco business for 30 years now, so you could say we are quite experienced. And yes, it's correct, we are one, if not the largest clearinghouse for mobile operators. We have over 600 customers in 194 countries, because there are just so many countries in the world. We probably clear around $35 billion a year and settle $15 billion on behalf of our customers in financial clearing. So because the new roaming world means that there will be more networks and more types of networks, there will be different use cases, so not anymore just limited to the telco companies, but as you mentioned yourself, different companies will join this ecospace. We need to adapt to this new reality. So we have now different business partners to work with. It's not really anymore just telco companies, but let's say entertainment providers, car manufacturers, because this is the new future of even telecommunications.
Yeah, that's somehow touching the IoT space, right?
Exactly, yep.
Yeah, so, I mean, for obviously for non-telco specialists, so Syniverse is essentially a company that connects, for example, when people are going to roam somewhere and you are coming from the network, whatever, and you are being a guest of the network where you're roaming.
That's
so
right.
The two networks might not necessarily talk each other the same language. So there should be someone that translates somehow the two languages, those two networks talk each other, but it comes down to charging because the customer roaming into the network, interconnection, so on and so forth. All these is a super, super important job. It's critical for the delivery of the telco product. Yes. And Syniverse is essentially doing this, which is super, super important. Otherwise, we cannot roam, and that is a problem, especially when we're traveling a lot, as we're doing. Not now, but...
They will come back.
We'll come back to travel. So we need roaming, actually.
Exactly, yes.
And we will call for a network, so we need interconnection. Right. So what is really, really interesting to me is, so you just mentioned the IoT, the fact that there are new technologies, new players coming into the telco space. I'm very curious to know a little bit more about this. So what's going on there in the IoT space? Because IoT is a buzzword that in the telco space is mentioned since years, but then normal people like me that are no longer working, 7 days a week in the telco,
yeah.
I get to see what's going on there. So we would like to know a little bit more. Can you tell us a little bit more?
Yeah, so IoT stands for Internet of Things, which if a normal person hears it, it's like really fluffy for them because what does it even mean?
Yeah.
So Internet of Things, these are basically devices that you see really everywhere, or you don't see them, but you know they are there. So there are utilities companies use them. So there are devices which attach themselves to mobile networks and don't really generate a lot of data. Smart meters, for example, like we have in the UK, every day there is a message sent to the utility company how much electricity I have used, for example. So a lot of data, a lot of sessions, but not really huge sessions. So the future of telecoms is really data-based. Voice and SMS will not play such a big role anymore, in my opinion. It's anyway declining. If you look at the statistics, data is probably 85-90% of the traffic between operators.
Wow.
Good part about data is that actually the home network has always the control over how much data is used, because they can always see that. And then they can control and send the subscribers a bill shock warning if they use too much data. But yeah, back to the Internet of Things. Also, one of the things that is happening is the 5G. You probably heard another word, but not really, because 5G will come. It's the natural evolution. 5G will be a lot different. It's not just another G, like we had 3G, 4G. 5G will be a totally different ecosystem. You will see that the network will be kind of sliced up. So different slices will have different functionalities. So you can, for example, if you have a football match, you can assign one slice just to that. If you go to a football match today, oftentimes it happens that you can't send a message, you can't call people because the network is so congested. So that will not happen with 5G, obviously. So it will be low latency, really fast network, which then can be used for many, many different purposes, also for emergencies. And it will build whole smart cities in the future. In my opinion, it's happening a bit slow. I was hoping it would be faster. You will see that there are many networks today even announcing that they are 5G compliant, and even you can roam using 5G. But it's not really 5G. It's 4G plus radio technology, which basically gives you faster speeds if you have the device for that.
Okay, cool. So in the, because we read, I mean, I've seen too many things about 5G and IoT, whatever. Mm-hmm. In your view, what would be the main, let's say, advantage for people? Better coverage, better service? Or there will be also the possibility to create a brand new type of services that today we have not even seen.
So, well, for people or end users, so it will be the speeds, of course, 100 times faster than what we see today, provided, as I said, that you have the handset for that. You will be able to make phone calls everywhere. So like I said, crowded places, which today is not always possible and it's frustrating. Then of course the businesses will probably benefit from it most because everything will be connected everywhere through the 5G network, right? So, and it's especially important, as I mentioned, for emergency services because it will be ultra reliable and basically never breaks down.
Yeah, so we have better, you know, better connectivity as a whole, faster, better experience, faster. Yeah, so we can develop new services on top. So that's my, like streaming-like services. Yeah, cool. Yeah, so so the next step to me is IoT, so 5G, which is kind of, you know, the backbone.
Yeah, so, that's true. They are connected, yes.
Yeah. Then when it comes down to, let's say, what's going on next. So I'm very curious, and that's one of the main focus of our talk today, about the fact that you at Cineverse have considered to take steps, active steps, to introduce very strong innovation in the field of billing and charging for roaming and interconnection by adopting a brand new technology, so which is blockchain, so that people are aware of it, because this is the podcast where we talk about blockchain. But I think I would like to step back from the blockchain and saying, you have started from a problem, which is a very known problem in the industry. So would you mind to describe a little bit what this problem is in the charging and the billing and settlement? And how you went through this, because there is a big, you know, big gap from an historical problem to a brand new technology on how you connect the dots.
Okay, so as I mentioned, I have been in this industry for a while, and the biggest problem currently we are facing as clearinghouse, but also operators, are disputes and that they do not pay each other on time. So we know roaming, there are subscribers using their phones abroad. They come home and they get their invoice from their provider. But operators need to settle between each other as well on wholesale level, right? So then, of course,
and the amount at stake are pretty big.
Yeah, exactly. And then between operators, this is quite substantial amounts.
Yeah, for cash flow purposes.
Exactly. So because they, so they agree on certain charging principles. So, you know, probably in the EU, it's not possible because EU regulations say that everybody has to charge their subscribers as if they were home. So roam like home principle. But if they go to US or China or whatever, the charges can be very different. So operators basically agree bilaterally on certain tariffs. And then when they exchange data, these tariffs should be included in the traffic, and then they settle in the end. But you would think it's simple, but they agree on the tariffs, but then we have the disputes. No, this is not the tariff we agreed. No, it does not start 1st February, it starts 1st of April. So daily we have cases like that where there are discrepancies, where there are disputes. And that has been going on ever since roaming was introduced. And it actually gets worse and worse. So of course, this is probably the biggest challenge in the roaming industry today, all these disputes. Then people do not pay on time because they withhold payments until the dispute is resolved. And so cash flow is already affected. So something had to be invented or introduced, which can take care of all these disputes.
And how this has been, I mean, so far, this has been managed like, you know, back and forth discussion among operators, mostly in the back office on the operations team.
Yes, and it can go on for months.
Yeah, it goes for months, number one. So it has a direct cash flow impact. And number two, you have an operational overhead because you keep people busy to, you know, to dealing with disputes that can be settled otherwise, right?
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. So then you came with a solution with that, right?
Well, I think the industry somehow did. So first of all, let me just talk briefly about the billing and charging evolution that we work with on in GSMA. So the TAP process, which I mentioned, the transfer account procedure, I would say has lived its life. It's not really suitable for all the new services. As I mentioned, home operator always has the picture of the data usage of their subscribers and devices. So it's not really necessary anymore to rely on the data sent by the visited network. So therefore we said, okay, so no need to send daily data on CDR level and call type level. Let's just aggregate the data and then send it for reconciliation purposes and settlement. So fine, this is then the new process, the billing and charging evolution. So which means aggregated reports sent maybe once a month to the home operator for reconciliation, because then the visited network will also send an invoice and the home operator has to pay that invoice. And for some, of course, they have to somehow reconcile the data with their own system. So that's in principle what billing and charging evolution is about, simplified approach. So this is all nice and good, but again, there will be different charging models now to apply. The operators will agree. If 1,000 subscribers visit my network, this is the price I will give you. If it's above 1,000, the price is even lower. So like threshold charging and so on and so on. So this is again something they would have to agree on. So this is the charging model. We will launch it as per 1st of May. And in the old world, that would again lead to disputes, delayed settlement and so on. With blockchain, once you agree on this, all this will be written into the blockchain. So it's a smart contract. You'll reach a consensus with your roaming partner and then you write it into the blockchain. And then once this is done, that means everyone agrees and there is really no chance that there will be disputes following that.
Oh, and the settlement is done instantaneously?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. So once everything is reconciled, which we also assume it will be in the proof of concept we have been doing last year, that actually worked quite perfect. Then, of course, there's instant settlement, provided, of course, there's funding by the home operator.
That means okay. That. And how, I mean, the payment is being done in which currency?
For the billing and charging evolution, they can agree on a currency. So it could be US dollar, it could be euro, whatever. If they cannot agree on a common currency, there is the special drawing rights, SDR, that is used in TAP today. And that can be used. And then the exchange rate tool provided by GSM can be used to calculate their own currency.
But no Bitcoin.
No, I knew you were going to ask, but no, Bitcoin, no. GSMA hasn't even really decided what and how to go about blockchain. Hmm. So as I said,
the currency, I mean, whatever it is, Bitcoin is just one, could be anything. So I think a cryptocurrency or a digital currency, because there is a difference also.
Yeah, I agree.
Could be, an incremental step on top to have a payment to be smoother and faster. Of course, dealing with cryptocurrency, it means to manage volatility, to manage the exchange rates issues.
That's all obsolete. And I knew you where you were going with it. Unfortunately, I don't have good news for you in that direction.
But we try to push.
The extent of the things that we discussed in GSMA.
Yeah, we try to push. In every podcast, we try to say, why use the Bitcoin?
Yeah, that's absolutely fine. As I mentioned, I am the chair of the Billing and Charging Evolution Group. And in several meetings, we had blockchain presentations from blockchain providers, including IBM that we work with.
Yeah.
And it was all very interesting because, as you said, blockchain is really a technology on top of the process. So whether it's TAP, whether it's this new BCE, Billing and Charging Evolution, blockchain will not affect the process in any way. No. It will just be the layer on top, which will provide the immutability, auditability, security, all these things that operators talk about and they need. But yeah, they will have to get used to the idea. It will come. GSMA, according to my knowledge, is also running several proofs of concepts tests with operators to figure out the use cases for blockchain. So that based on that, they can then make a recommendation and say, okay, this is where you can use blockchain. Right. And again, they don't really impose things on people, but right now I don't think they can recommend anything because they don't have enough data.
Okay. Mm. Yeah. And so you have done this, you have delivered this in production in a real environment. Can you let us a little bit more about how painful or not was the delivery process from a use case to a real product?
Yeah. It was actually not difficult, that I can tell you up front. We have partnered with IBM because we are a telco provider. We are not a blockchain expert. We know all about telecommunications. We don't know that much about blockchain, or we didn't before we got together with IBM. And IBM, on the other hand, has a lot of experience with blockchain. They have been running that for several years now, but they don't know that much about telco. So it was a good combination, I think, also in hindsight, that looking back, I can say it really was a good idea. We started the POC early last year, and we concluded it in May 2019 with two of our customers, MTS Russia and Orange. We used real roaming data so that they already exchange between each other today. We extracted the data traffic, left voice and SMS as it was, and then converted all this into this BCE format, which is the new GSMA format, and used the blockchain technology, the Hyperledger technology, to as the technology on top. And we also had a press release about it because actually both operators were quite satisfied with the outcome of it. And even today, they're looking for partners who would want to exchange data with them this way. But as I said, things take time.
Of course.
I still think it's a buzzword, so that's another approach. But in my opinion, it is coming, and we will see this getting more and more relevant.
Because the benefit at the end and the use case of this, it's strongly dependent by how many people adopting, how many parties doing this approach. And the more they use, the more the benefit is spread across the industry, right?
Yeah, correct.
So
yeah,
that's very, very important, and people taking active steps, at least to look at, especially into this period of pandemic where people have probably more time to study and educate themselves. So to think about implementing something new like this.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the benefits of blockchain are clear, and these are all the things that everyone was looking for. With blockchain, each party has the same information, and they have the, let's say, the node of blockchain where the information is identical for everyone. Right now, Syniverse is like a central ledger, you could call it,
yeah,
where we collect all the information and we have all the information, and everyone else has to access it and extract it, whatever they need. With blockchain, they will all have the same information, and there's no way to change something, to commit any fraud or whatever. So for me, it would be clear to use it, but I think operators need to come to this conclusion and see probably the business case. And
what is for you? So if let's say there are clear evidence about the rationale behind the use case and the business case, sorry. So it's very clear, what is the benefit? We said before, it's cash flow. Yeah. So this means there will not be experienced to any delay, because cash is set at certain dates and it'll be executed and settled. So yeah, that's good. And number two, they can decrease some, let's say, inefficiency, which is mostly leading to operational overhead. So, you know, having people liaising with these bits and so on and so forth, which might be a marginal benefit, but it's still for some. It depends how is your OPEX structure. Yes. And third, which is even more important, this is, for me, is also a kind of a business message.
Yes.
Because you are, by default, regardless of what you build in your, you know, industry history, you are by default a trustable party. So because you put technology as the validator on top of your own reputation. So which should encourage people to do even more and more, right?
Yeah, I think we are the innovator in the industry. So we try to do things first where we see potential. And my belief is that whatever is regulated or worked on by GSMA will become a success, because everyone will have to use it based on previous experiences, right? So this is coming, it's just a matter when.
Yeah, sounds good. And in your view, what are the showstopper or the pain points that somehow most of the operators are scared about, and they don't take active steps into this?
Yeah, they are leaders and they are followers, right? In all my meetings, because I had a lot of meetings the last 6 months with operators, both about BCE and blockchain, I would say 80-85% would say, okay, let's see what happens. If somebody approaches us, we will then think about it. Proactively, they don't do anything. And then, so in my view, it will be the big operators driving this. So we already see the GSMA initiative, there are 8 operators and they're all big, either groups or single operators, who then share their experiences, and they already know what they can use blockchain for. So what will happen is that they approach their partners and they will say, look, we will use blockchain, take it or leave it. And then the smaller operators will either have to say, okay, sorry, I can't, and then lose revenue and potential business partner, or they'll have to find a solution. The good part about blockchain, and especially the solution we have, is that that smaller operator does not even have to be blockchain compliant or even have it in-house. We can host a node on their behalf.
Okay, right. And do you think there might be concern about costs?
Yeah, cost is of course always a factor, but there's no really, it's difficult to say how much blockchain would cost them, because it all depends on the approach they take. Will they do everything in-house? Will they employ a blockchain provider? Will they use a clearinghouse like us to do that? So it's...
What I'm always saying is that blockchain, it doesn't necessarily mean it's cheaper by its own. No. But it gives a chance to rethink what you have been doing so far, and probably change how you're doing it in a way that at the end it costs less money. So, yeah, exactly. Because it gives a chance to challenge your status quo. So.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just think about the army of people that is involved in all the disputes that, have been going on, which then basically don't have to do that because blockchain will take care of that and whatever is written into it will be settled in the end, right?
Yeah, yeah, so. Lovely. Lovely. I think it was very impressive to see that you have taken advanced steps because you're already in production, you're already live and with such a couple of big operators already there. I really hope perhaps we can shoot another podcast in a few months from now to see how industry is moving, to have a feedback from you that more people joining and more, you know, more developments are taking steps there. Yeah.
Yeah. Normally I would have said 2020 will be the year where things will start happening, but because of the current situation, operators have, let's say, different priorities. They need to provide connectivity for emergency services and so on. Yeah. So any innovation is probably put on the back burner at the moment. That's my impression, at least. But yeah, let's talk after this crisis is over and give it a few months and then see how the situation develops.
Yeah, unless blockchain is... is considered as one of the critical services to develop because of trust, because having people in control of the data, people in this case, it's operators in control of the data, and could be, we don't know whether it could be even accelerator for the adoption of this technology. So let's see.
Exactly. That
we're going to shoot. Yeah. We're going to shoot in a few months and then we let our listener know a little bit more about that.
Great. Okay.
Cool. Thank you very much, Anna, for your time, for what you are doing at Cineverse. It was a very big pleasure being with you today.
Thank you so much, Daniel. It was a pleasure for me too.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.